We're going to wrap up this hour with a warning, a parental warning, really, about explicit lyrics, the kind that could have gotten you in big trouble as a kid. Bastard by Motley Crue. And here's Cyndi Lauper with the suggestive and subversive Shebop. As we're going to hear in a minute, both of those songs landed their artists on a list, a real list of explicit and dangerous lyrics compiled by some very powerful people back in the 1980s. And kids all over America learned that just because your favorite band got to say bad stuff doesn't mean it was okay for you.
Hi, I'm Selkie Hope from Charleston, South Carolina. When I was 13, I asked my mother for Red Hot Chili Peppers' Californication.
Destruction leads to a very rough road, but it also breeds creation. An earthquake's out to a girl's guitar, that's just another good. And tidal waves couldn't save the world from California.
I immediately had my mouth washed out with soap and was banned from listening to the radio for months. It took me about 5 years to figure out why.
I love to love you, baby.
My name is Ramona. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. When I was in the sixth grade, we would have record week. One of my classmates brought the Donna Summer song, Love to Love You, Baby. The music teacher was absolutely refused to play it because of all the passionate moans and groans in the song.
Our struggle over taste and decency is a lot older than the First Amendment itself. But that little black and white warning label in the corner of albums, the one that says parental advisory explicit content, has a much more recent history. The label dates back to a movement in the 1980s started by the wives of two politicians, Tipper Gore and Susan Baker. 25 years later, the labels have become so commonplace that we don't even notice them anymore. But they're there on albums ranging from Justin Bieber to Nicki Minaj to pretty much anything that sells. Now, this is all detailed in a new retro report out today called Sex, Drugs, and Gore. With me now is the producer of that report, Joshua Fisher. Josh, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So bring us back to the late 1980s, to the PMRC, the Parents Music Resource Center, Senate hearings, Tipper Gore, and Susan Baker. What was it like?
Well, it was reportedly it was the biggest media event in congressional history. That's what they say. I don't know if we can actually prove that. But there certainly were a lot of cameras there that day, September day in 1985. On one side, you had Tipper Gore and Susan Baker, the Washington Wives, the PMRC. On the other side, you had musicians like Frank Zappa, John Denver, and Dee Snider of Twisted Sister.
Saying that even voluntary labeling of lyrics amounted to censorship, and also don't blame us for society's problems, essentially.
Right. That was really the kind of the subtext of what was going on. They're debating over labeling and censorship, but the claim was that these rock lyrics, which were sexual, violent, were having a dangerous impact, were harming kids. And they said, you know, contributed everything from suicide to teenage pregnancy to other kind of social problems.
Well, let's take a listen to a clip from your film where Susan Baker, who is the wife of then Treasury Secretary James Baker, and Tipper Gore are talking about their own experiences with their own kids.
Our daughter was only seven. And she came to me one day and she said, Mom, what's a virgin?
Like a virgin, touched for the very first time.
And she said, what does that mean? I said, oh my gosh. Then Tipper, her daughter, bought Purple Rain, Princess Purple Rain. I met a girl named Nikki. Guess you could say she was a sex fiend.
I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating.
I did not feel that was appropriate for my then 10-year-old child to have purchased.
It just made us angry, and we knew that others didn't know about it, so we just thought, you know, we have to do something.
it seems like there was a bit of an attack of convenience here. Complex social problems that were hard to solve, violent crime and teen pregnancy, both of which were high at the time, and that politicians and or their wives sort of turned to a convenient target, the music industry.
Exactly. And that's really the key. Popular culture in whatever form, music, comic books previously, it's an easy target. You can go after it and say, well, look, we've got these songs out there that are talking about sex or they're really violent. You've got album covers that are just shocking to look at. And clearly this must be having an impact on children. And so, you know, it's also a way to kind of connect with people across the country and kind of make the case that something's wrong and something needs to be done.
And indeed, I don't know if you and your friends were like me and my friends, but we went for the records that had the label. Did these artists wind up making a great deal of money thanks to Tipper Gore?
Well, a lot of them claim that it boosted record sales. I did look into that, and I was not able to find any definitive proof that an album that has the black and white parental advisory sticker on it does better than it would have had not, or that record sales went up, you know, post-labeling. But one thing that does happen is that nowadays there's often the explicit version and the clean version. So you've got kind of two products that you can sell, and that probably does help, you know, boost sales to some degree.
Yeah, because everyone knows which is the better version.
Exactly.
So what's the lesson then for history here? The labels still exist. They're so much a part of music culture now that they're almost ignored. Nobody really seems all that shocked anymore that Nicki Minaj has lyrics and imagery filled with sex. Have we become completely inured to this, or have we learned that art is art and social problems are social problems and that censorship doesn't necessarily solve any of the things that we want to solve?
Well, I think what happens is the debate goes on, but the medium, if you will, changes. The form that it takes changes over time. So if you go back in history, you can see there was the same exact debate happened in the 1950s over comic books, a big furor over comic books harming children. In the 80s, it was music. Later on, it might be video games or whatever's next, whatever the new thing that adults fear that kids are into and that they don't really get. That's where you're going to find the friction, the tension, the genesis of a new controversy.
Censorship, the battle over rock and roll, and just how much damage it was doing to the kids. Not a new debate. Joshua Fisher is producer of the Retro Report, and it's all in the new Retro Report documentary out today, Sex, Drugs, and Gore. Joshua Fisher, thanks.
Thank you so much.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI, to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.